Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gohl. Tonight, we have a special show. I'll be the focus. I will be talking about my groundbreaking LGBTQ play, Private Lives, Private Lies. Many of my cast members will be sharing their thoughts as well.
So you don't want to miss out on our very own Dr. Diana Grayer talk about this exciting project. But first, here's Greg Maralia with news and events.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Maralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, April 3rd, 2016. Malawi's Catholic bishops have issued a joint pastoral letter that condemns the government for not imprisoning gays and lesbians. In 2012, then-Malawian President Joyce Banda announced the suspension of the country's laws criminalizing gay sex. All the while, the Catholic bishops wanted it enforced. The bishops wrote, quote, "We agree with those who have faulted the government for putting a moratorium on laws governing homosexual acts. This means that those guilty of homosexual acts or unions cannot be prosecuted. The government has bowed down to pressure from donor communities, international bodies, and local human rights campaigners. As pastors, we find this path unfortunate. It is an act of betrayal on the part of those in power to sell our country to foreign practices and tendencies contrary to the will of God because of money," end quote. While Pope Francis has been lauded in the media for striking a more conciliatory tone on the issue of LGBT rights, bishops worldwide have not heeded his call for tolerance and have faced no repercussions from the Vatican. And here in the U.S. on Monday, Georgia Governor Nathan Deal announced that he will veto a bill that would have allowed discrimination against LGBTQ people. Numerous corporations and celebrities have denounced the bill and threatened to leave the state or abandon planned projects if the bill became law. Hollywood has been particularly invested in this fight against the bill. Companies like Disney, Netflix, CBS, NBC, and the Discovery Channel joined forces with actors and producers like Aaron Sorkin, Ryan Murphy, and Julianne Moore to oppose the legislation. Georgia offers Hollywood production companies huge tax breaks as an incentive to shoot in the state, which took in $1.7 billion last year in revenues from such companies. Chris Riley, chief of staff for the governor, emailed Spiro Amburn, a top aide to the House Speaker David Ralston, to tell him that two large economic projects have abandoned plans to invest in the state. He said, quote, "We received official notification that Georgia was dropped from the contention from two pending economic projects that we've been working on. Both projects cited House Bill 757 as the reason they were removing Georgia from consideration." The governor sternly told corporations that had threatened to pull up economic states in Georgia that he wasn't responding to their threats, but instead was concerned about the reputation of the state. And last week, we reported on a similar discriminatory bill in North Carolina that was, in fact, signed into law by the governor. LGBT rights groups and others who say they'll be wronged by North Carolina's new law preventing Charlotte and other local governments from passing anti-discrimination rules are wasting little time to try to stop it in court. The American Civil Liberties Union, Lambda Legal, and Equality North Carolina all filed a challenge to the law in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina. The lawsuit says, quote, "By singling out LGBTQ people for disfavored treatment and explicitly writing discrimination against transgender people into state law, House Bill 2 violates the most basic guarantees of equal treatment by the Constitution." The suit goes on to say House Bill 2 was motivated by an intent to treat LGBT people differently and worse by other people, including by stripping them of the protections afforded by the City of Charlotte's ordinance and precluding any local government from taking action to protect LGBT people against discrimination. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, April 4th, from 5 to 6 p.m., the Positive Images LGBTQI Sonoma Group will meet at the Sonoma Community Center, 276 Napa Street in Sonoma. And on Tuesday, April 5th, at 10 a.m., The Napa Older Adults Discussion Group will convene at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And also on Tuesday at 6 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group, male to female, will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Thursday, April 7th at 12 noon, the Men's Brown Bag Lunch and Discussion will take place at the Spectrum Center, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. And also on Thursday at 7:30 p.m., the PFLAG North Bay Group will meet at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 240 Tiburon Boulevard in Mill Valley. And finally, on Saturday, April 9th, the Russian River Sisters will present Not Another Pirate Bingo, a benefit for the Friends of Guerneville Music School Program. Games start at 7 p.m. The doors open at 5:30. You can get two bingo cards for $20. This is an 18 and older event, and you can learn more at rrsisters.org. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Dr. Diana Greyer and Sheridan Gold. And we are interviewing Dr. Diana Greyer for another segment of her thoughts and feelings regarding the play that is going to be performed in 2 weeks, April 1, 2, 3. Now, just to be clear, everyone now is listening to the show, this Living Proof show, the night after the last performance. But we are recording the show 2 weeks before the performance. So it'll be interesting. For those of you that watched the play, you'll be hearing this 2 weeks before the play was performed. So it'll be interesting. Anyway, hi, Diana.
Hi.
All right, so let's get into it. How are you feeling now that the play is in a couple weeks versus, you know, the last time we talked to you, it was a month away and now it's 2 weeks away. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, I'm so, so excited by the day, trying to finish up everything that needs to be done and not wanting to lose, you know, anything in the process, you know, all the loose ends. I'm just trying to tie them up. But I'm so excited. I can't believe the cast. They're so connected, so involved, working really hard to bring a dynamic show to the people. So I'm really, really excited.
Well, tell me, what is the cast doing that's really, really hard besides learning their lines? What else do they have to do? Somebody might not know.
Well, to embody the roles. Now they've learned the lines. Now they're embodying the character fully and bringing so much more heart and passion to each role. They're building relationships. They're connecting, hanging out together. They're practicing. They're rehearsing, not just with me, with each other, and they're enjoying their time together. It's just a beautiful process what's happening with the cast members. And at our rehearsals, you can tell that we're family now. Everybody is really enjoying each other.
Hmm. That's interesting. I don't know if that's the norm in other productions. Usually people come, they rehearse, and they go.
Well, we do an opening ritual, if you want to call it that. Recently, I've been having them when we have our full cast rehearsals, usually every once a weekend. I have this garbage can metaphor that we use for dumping the trash, like getting rid of all the negativity that's in their heads. And so that's disclosure, you know, it's, you know, allowing that negative parts of self to come through and to be seen by each other. You know, we have like 20 people sitting in a circle, and I opened this last Sunday, I opened with a poem, one of my poems from my book. And then I invited each member to come forth with any negativity that they want to get rid of before we started our rehearsal. And it's a very powerful process. And it's amazing the negative self-talk that goes on, even with these incredible actors. And this is what I'm used to, and this is what I know from my own work in the world as a marriage family therapist and a professor, and just being in relationship with people. I know about those negative voices, and my work is to help my cast members and people around me not to have those negative voices and to move forward in their creativity. And so that's building relationships. So we get to see each other fully, which is beautiful.
I'm wondering, you know, there could be some fear in that and some resistance, like maybe they don't want to do that. And I would see that as a challenge that you have to try to help people overcome the fear, to help to help them say what their negative voices are saying in front of other people. And I'm wondering what other challenges you have come across as well.
As far as my cast members are concerned, there is a lot of negativity with certain former cast members. They're no longer with us anymore, and their influence on different cast members, you know, phone calls, negativity coming through. And so I had to put an end to that. So that was a really tough challenge. And that's when at least five or six of my cast members had to leave. But you know me, I'm not going to let that get me down. They left, and we got six more people who are better qualified to play the roles. So that's just how it is. I try not to let anything get in my way to stop me from doing the creativity that I want to do and to do the things that are important to me to do and to empower people and to give people opportunity is really high on my radar. That's what I'm all about.
So you had people quit after committing to your project?
Yes. Deep into the project. Frightening, you know, it was really frightening, but I held my cool, stood my ground, and I just, each person left, I got on Facebook, I got on email, and I just put out in the universe that I need another female or male character.
Wow, what gives you that kind of, I don't know, internal strength or self-belief that when you have all of this negativity, people quitting, phone calls from negative people who used to be cast members and now they're mad and they're calling you or calling other people, what gives you that drive to continue on?
Well, I'm clear. There's clarity. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. I know the value of what I'm doing. You know, I owe a lot of it to my mom. You know, she was one strong woman in my life, and I looked up to her as far as her ability to stand up for herself and to be strong and to not take anyone's baloney, and to do what she felt right. And so that's how I am. I have this fierceness about me that I believe in something, I'm going to go for it and not let anybody stand in my way. And, you know, I put all my money out for this project in the beginning. I knew it was that important to put out. And so this is my way of offering to the community and beyond the community. This is my heart.
You put, I mean, I'm, you know, intimately related to you. So, I mean, I know the answer to this question, but a lot of people might be shocked to hear that you put out your own money for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had lots of people tell me, Diana, you should do a Kickstarter. You should, you know, do one of those online programs. What are they?
Oh, GoFundMe.
GoFundMe, or those kinds of things. And, you know, I needed to find somebody to do that in the first place because I'm not so technical that I didn't want to put the energy into it. And I had a budget that I was looking at using. And I said, well, let me get started, see what I got, see how far it can take me, and then I go from there. So I was happy to receive some important, you know, a good amount of money for ads in my program. And so I'm really excited about that. So that is really helping out with the printing of the program. But, you know, I had to put a lot of money out for the building, the venue, the insurance, and now I'm looking to buy lighting for it. And I try and feed my cast members when they come over for rehearsals, you know, all of that. And a lot of my time, a lot of time organizing, cleaning up. So, yeah, I've done a lot and I'm really proud of that. I feel like they're my children and I want to take care of them and show them that they can rise and be and become and be great and in the service of other people as well as themselves.
That sounds so beautiful. Yeah. I think it's a good time to take a little break and listen to some of these children, as you say, some of your cast members.
Children in a way of an endearment.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I'm protective. I'm the mother bear, you know. I'm protective of them, and I care deeply about them and appreciate them deeply for the work that they're doing.
Let's take a listen.
Hello, my name is Nathaniel Mercier. I've been acting for, about almost 6 years now. The reason why I fell in love with acting, I guess I can start to back where my father died. It was 2010. My father died of a heart attack. Unfortunately, I was 18 and I was the first one that found him on the scene. I was always in love with movies and television and the magic of it. It was kind of my escape. I used to be severely overweight. I got to, I think, a cap of about 300 pounds. I just let that kind of take me over in a bad way. And for some reason, you know, after eating all that fast food every day and you know, not ever going out and staying home from school all the time because I was bullied constantly in high school and junior high, after my dad died, that turned on a switch. Right after I graduated high school and he died, I just something occurred where my brain just changed a switch, and I said, you know, I need to make a change. So I started working out. I started going to the gym. I got a job. I was out more. I was active more. I kind of took the role of man of the house. My mom and my father were separated in different houses. They didn't want a divorce because they didn't want to deal with the paperwork. And I have two older brothers who were already on their own. So I was kind of the only one left between my dad and mom in the households, I should say. And I needed to grow up. At 18 years old, I needed to grow up, and I needed to take charge, and I did. As for my character, the character I currently play is Donald. He is the boyfriend of Johnny. Johnny is a boy who dresses like a female because he believes he wants to be a woman, and he seriously believes that's where he's comfortable. And in relation to him, I fell in love with him. We fell in love and we're both teenagers, so I'm also very young. And we have this deep scene where it's deep in the sense that it escalates. So Donald is just his horny boyfriend, right? And I really want to, we're studying and I really want to have fun with him and be intimate with him. And Johnny just wants to study and he won't let this happen. And we're at his house and his parents are going to be home any minute. I'm not going to tell you the whole scene, but it escalates and it turns into an emotional disaster. And Donald just becomes defeated. And he's essential because, he's kind of the waypoint for Johnny to become more independent. And so, Johnny realizes that he really loves Donald, and Donald realizes that he really loves Johnny, and their love grows, and they connect that way, even though Johnny's parents are very against it and very violent emotionally in this situation. I relate to Donald because I recently came out as bisexual, and so I really love the fact that Donald is kind of still in the closet, but not really. He's very secretive and playful with Johnny, and he doesn't want everyone to know about it, but he still really loves Johnny. And I've kind of been in that same boat, and I kind of know exactly what he's going through, and that's why we can relate so much. Because when you're in the closet and you have to hide yourself like that, it's very scary. It can be very scary, but it can also be very fun and very freeing when you can finally give yourself to somebody. And eventually that strength grows throughout the play. Johnny and Donald are more comfortable with people knowing about their relationship. The play as a whole impacted me by just having a powerful message in the LGBT community and inspiring me to become more aware that issues like emotional abuse, physical abuse, stereotyping is going on still today. Even though we're in a more accepting environment these days in the world, it still can be very scary as a personal conflict within people to accept that they're gay or bisexual and to accept themselves as someone who, I guess the right word is, thinks outside of society's box, you know? Everyone's very different and unique in their own way, and it's really hard for people to accept that sometimes. And I think this play is a way to tell everyone, wake everybody up, hey, you know, this is what happens in today's world. We all need to be aware of it, and we all need to wake up, and we need to get the word out about, you know, that it's okay to be who you are. You don't have to hide. You don't have to hide. And I hope the audience will gain an understanding more of what the LGBT community goes through in these very real, very believable situations in this play, in this powerful writing that we're bringing to life. And we've all, as actors, connected because of this play. And a lot of us didn't even know each other before this, and now we're all like a big family. And it's very refreshing to be a part of it. And I really appreciate being chosen for the role I'm in, and being a part of this big, big message to the community, and I can't wait to perform this for everybody.
Hi, I'm David, and I haven't really been acting at all. This is going to be my first full experience. The only real time I've had on stage was one opportunity to do my own one-hour stand-up comedy. So as far as experience goes in front of a crowd, definitely already, you know, aware of that, but acting is going to be a new one for me. I play Michael in Sometimes It Takes a Village, and I play the boyfriend to Victor, who is someone struggling with alcoholism. I relate to the character not so much with the story as it is, but it does parallel a certain romantic situation from my past. So I am able to relate in that sense, where it's not so much alcohol or the relationship. It's more like, here's the second chance right in front of you, take it or there's going to be nothing. So Michael and I both have that, you know, give it everything you got because this is your last stand. So I'm actually kind of excited to be this character. The whole play has impacted me in a tremendous way. I mean, the messages that come from it are just so powerful. My piece alone really helped. It almost was like a therapy for me with what I have been going through for quite some time. And as I've been progressing and growing into the character, I have developed some tools, some skills that would actually improve my own self, which I never thought would be possible playing as a character. So I'm actually really happy and excited and grateful for that opportunity. I hope the audience will gain the message from my character in regards to codependency. I do see it quite often in my age group, my demographic. I'm 29. And people don't really see certain relationship dynamics as a form of codependency. And I'm hoping they'll see that with my character and understand that you have to love yourself and value yourself first. Create those boundaries and don't be afraid to. The reason is if you don't set those boundaries, that's where the value for yourself is in jeopardy. Someone will definitely take advantage of that, whether they intend to or not. And it creates a very unhealthy relationship between two individuals. So I really hope that the audience can actually see that message conveyed in the vignette that I'm part of.
I am Desmond Woodward, and I have been acting for a while now, off and on since middle school. I've done a bunch of musicals and regular plays, and I've really enjoyed acting so far in my life. And for this show, I am going to be playing Frank. He is in the scene, Sometimes It Takes a Village. I jumped into this project kind of late, and I had to really think quick on things regarding my character choices and stuff. And I had a very supportive group of scene partners who kind of clued me in onto what was going on. But I really enjoy playing Frank because he is a man who really cares about his family and his brother, Victor, and his son, Tommy, and their relationship. And he, unfortunately, because of Victor's alcohol abuse, has to pull that relationship apart until Victor can, you know, get help. And that really is hard for him because he sees how much joy Victor brings to Tommy. I can really relate to Frank in that he really cherishes his family and the relationships he has with his brother and son. But as far as Victor and Tommy are concerned, is heartbroken that he has to separate them because of Victor's alcohol abuse. And he brings a letter to Victor and explaining how hard it is for Tommy not to have seen his uncle for so long. Coming up to the end of this rehearsal process, and we're going to be opening up soon, I'm really excited to present all these wonderful stories to the audience. And I really hope that they can grab onto the hard, deep stories that we're portraying. I think that the stories that we're presenting to the audience are really important stories to put out there and just to educate the community and everyone, because I feel like these LGBTQI issues are becoming more prevalent in society, but I feel like sometimes some of these issues are still swept under the rug, and a lot of people are, you know, uneducated on how to deal with alcoholism and finding out that one of your children is gay or lesbian or bisexual or whatever. I feel like this show would be very important for anyone and everyone to see, just to expose them to these issues, and hopefully they come away from the show more educated and open and accepting and, you know, full of love and stuff. Yeah.
I'm Preston Capitan, and this is my first time acting. I portray Johnny's father. How he relates to me is I've gone through that with my own father to a point. Grew up in a household that was verbally abusive. So I am trying to bring that out. I relate because I know how Johnny's father feels. Having disappointment over the years, wanting to have everything perfect. I guess I relate to him because I found out my cousin was gay at an early age, and I was homophobic myself. When I found out, I kind of teased him a lot, was verbally abusive to him. Then I pushed myself away because I didn't want to be around that. Growing up, I steered away from anyone who was bi, gay, anything really, because I didn't want that in my life. Over the years, though, I did learn that they're just people and got accustomed to that side of the lifestyle. I was uncomfortable at first and took one of my friends to bring the accepting person that I am now today. This play has actually impacted me because I have come to terms with being bi, or bi-curious, I should say, and allowing me to accept that. Also got me out of the house and made some friendships. People I hang out with outside of here now, so that's awesome. What I hope the audience will gain from this is they see the mistakes of the father and what he's done, and feel that emotion that, you know, everyone's scared at one point in time about going out of the norm. My character is someone who likes everything strict, by the book, comes home after work, has a beer, sits back, kick back, and has dinner ready for him. And then when he finds out, he explodes. And I'm hoping that from that aspect, it reaches the parents who neglected their kids and came down hard on them because of who they were, and that they realize the emotional damage that they did, and hopefully they start repairing that part of it.
If you just joined us, this is Living Proof, and I'm Sheridan Gold talking with Diana Greer, playwright, director, producer of her new play, Private Lives, Private Lies. And we just listened to four of the cast members of her 17-member cast. So, Diana, that was very, very interesting hearing how some of these things have affected these people. Can you say more about that and how the play and the roles have affected your cast members?
Yeah, that's really, really profound stuff that we've been hearing. Let me just go back a little bit. So what happens in my practice when I have each individual vignette group come to me? We sit in a circle and we talk for a moment. And I ask them different questions. And this last go-round, I've been asking about how have this play affected you? And then the second part of that would be, what are you hoping to transfer over to the audience? What do you want them to get? So we sit around, we talk about this, and how they've been impacted by it is so profound. It's amazing what has occurred and how the cast members are changing, how they're learning so much about themselves, about the self-doubt, about their own sexuality. I've learned some things in the last week about each of them that we all didn't know. They're coming out. They're coming out. And that's what this is like all about. They're allowing themselves to show up in their authenticity. And I'm really proud of each and every one of them. And then, so they know the impact of this play on themselves. They are clear, much more clear about the delivery, about what they're wanting the audience to take away. And the takeaways are huge and profound. They want the audience, you've heard them, they want the audience to be more compassionate, to be more real, to be more authentic, to show up in their lives, to not hide, just a variety of things, and to be okay with themselves. All the important messages that I want this play to give and for the audience to receive.
It's so interesting that you talk about that, because we do have many cast members talking about, and I recorded them all, and I want to share them with the listeners what they want the audience to gain as a result. So maybe we should play those right now.
My name is Maggie, and I play Sarah in the young love scene. What I'm hoping the audience will gain after watching our play is that it's okay to have the hard conversations, and it's okay if you don't know how to or know what to say. I know our scene in particular, my character tries really hard to change people's minds and finds that you can't always change people's minds. But having those conversations, and if anyone leaves the audience just thinking a little bit differently than they did before, or thinking about people they didn't know existed in the world, I think that will be a good thing.
Hello, my name is August. I play both Johnny and Victor in this play. And what I hope the audience will gain as a result of seeing the play, I think the first and most important thing is to have the courage, the bravery, the freedom to express yourself in whatever way that is, you know. So whatever it is that makes you you, don't be afraid to be that. And if you are afraid, don't let it hold you back. Another thing I hope the audience will gain is that no matter what you think, no matter who's around you, there there's at least one person who cares. At least one person who cares about you and will try to help you. And I mean, no matter what the situation is, there's going to be somebody who will support you.
So my name is Linda, and I play Dr. Ives in the vignette called Sometimes It Takes a Village. And so I wanted to share some thoughts with you about what I hope the audience will gain from this play, and particularly from this vignette. And what we're dealing with here is a family who has finally come to the realization that if they don't stand up for this young man and really say the truth, that things could just turn out terribly bad for him. So I want the audience to really understand that as hard as it may be, as difficult as it may be, when you see something going on, such as alcoholism or any type of addiction, that you need to stand up, take a stand, and have no regrets that you didn't speak up when you had the chance to.
Hi, I'm Dee Dee Robbins, and I'm playing Tracy. And what I hope to give the audience, or what I hope they will gain as a result of seeing the play, I've given that a lot of thought. And I see the audience as consisting of some people who have not come out as being gay or lesbian. I see the audience containing people who are in the midst of dealing with family members as a result of their coming out. I imagine people in the audience who have no experience whatsoever ever with a family member or personal experience with anybody from the LGBTQ community. And what I hope that the people who are just starting on this journey, I want this play to give them hope. And for the people that are embroiled right now in that part of the journey that includes family and possibly rejection, I hope this gives them courage. And for the people who've never been exposed at all and have no idea that the lives of gays and lesbians have the same challenges and joys that everybody else does, I hope it gives them compassion.
My name is Jude Gibson Byers, and I play the part of Hallie. And what I would hope that the audience would gain from seeing this play is a sense of acceptance of our community. We're very diverse, we're all very different, and we just want to be loved and treated the same as everyone else. We don't want anything special. So just enjoy the play, and I hope it changes your perspective.
Hi, my name is Cinnamon Girodengo, and I am portraying Johnny's mom and the part of Karina. I have really appreciated working on this project. As a whole, this play has really impacted my life and given me an opportunity to start taking a look at some of the things that are important to me in my life. From the perspective of the mom character, what I really hope that the audience gleans from witnessing her in this scene, that whatever situation we find ourselves in, that we have the tenacity, the strength, and the ability to step outside of our comfort zone, even though sometimes we're yanked out of our comfort zone, that we are in control and ownership of our own lives. As you know, the mother for so long has just gotten lost and forgotten about who she was as a person outside of the connection to her family. And everything has become very insulated and very status quo. And so it was very important that everyone play their role in that system, in that family system. And in this moment, you know, as Johnny's freed, she's starting to really wake up and realize that free part of Johnny was the part that she kind of lived through her son in order to claim that for herself. And now that this was all, and her daughter being the outspoken daughter, she kind of used her daughter as a mouthpiece. And as everything explodes, you know, the mom is standing in the midst of it and having to make a decision. So I hope that in that moment, the audience connects to the, you know, we have to make painful decisions sometimes in life. Sometimes life can be very hard. And on the other side of it, there can be such sweetness. And I hope that people connect to the sweetness from the mother as well. As far as Karina, whole nother story. She is just a fun, spunky character who's had her own experience coming out and having an impact within her own family, her heritage being, you know, Hispanic, Latina. And, you know, she's faced a lot of rejection. And so I'm hoping that anybody that connects to her character, because she has taken that and she has channeled it into her power. She's channeled it into her ability to give other people a voice. And I hope that people, you know, understand that we all have that voice. Sometimes other people just need to remind us. Karina is such a loving, caring person. And the idea that we create our own community, that sometimes we have a blood family, we sometimes have to walk away from that. And, you know, there's a lot of heartache around that. But to be able to fill our hearts with the connection of the people we choose to be around and the people, the connections and the empowerment that we give ourselves to offer something else to the world. And, you know, I really hope that people get an opportunity to come out of hiding, to stand up for themselves, to say, you know what? I'm standing here and I'm not standing alone.
So I'm Rosa Fuller and I'm playing CJ. And my hope is that the audience, for some people, it'll be that they gain an understanding of the LGBT community that they may not have had before. And most importantly, just to see that, you know, our sexuality and how we express our sexuality doesn't really have any other impact on our humanity. Like we're all just people and we're all dealing with the same stuff. And as a result of that, feeling that sense of connection and unity in the moment, you know, I think that that's one of the things that we all struggle with, is that we're all walking around in our skin and we don't feel the unity as often as we need it. And so that's what I hope, is that they feel that sense of unity and that the ideas that are divisive can start to disappear inside of this conversation that we're all having a human experience.
Hi, my name is Sandy Ayala, and I play Chloe. What I hope the audience will gain as a result of seeing the play is an opportunity to have dialogue and conversation about the various experiences that the characters will share and expose. Some of these conversations go back a long way. You know, and I think I came out at around the age of 16. I'm in my 50s now, and I see these conversations as standing the test of time. You know, I saw these conversations happening in my 20s and my 30s and 40s. I've seen these different experiences, and I think that this is always going to be a conversation, and people need an opportunity to discuss them and see the way different people handle them and get in touch with their emotions and their feelings. So I think each one of these vignettes provides an opportunity to talk about something that is important in gay and lesbian communities, in all families, all communities, to have these conversations about the different experiences people have and see how you'll handle them and see how you've handled them and see how you might handle them in the future differently.
Hi, my name is Liz Levin, and I play the minister. And those of you who came to our play, thank you so much. And I am sure you've got a great deal from this performance. And that also, in watching the different vignettes, you may have healed some parts of yourself that needed to be healing. Some tears that needed to be shed, and laughter, and also finding in your heart acceptance of who you are in your life, no matter what you are doing, but acceptance of who you are. And I think that's the focus of this play, is loving yourself.
My name is Diane Madrigal. I am Deidre in the play Private Lives, Private Lies. And what I hope the audience will gain from this experience is a sense of the real meaning of love and how people love each other and the importance of that and the importance of our community supporting everybody, no matter what, no matter what biases or thoughts they have that may be different, that we're here to love each other. So I hope your experience at the play will be just that. And I hope to hear from those folks that saw it and see what they liked about it and how they were impacted by the love of the crew, the love of the play, and the love of the people in the audience.
Kind friends all gathered round, something I would say, that what brings us together here has blessed us all today. Love has made a circle that holds us all inside, where strangers are as family and loneliness can't hide. You must give yourself to love, if love is what you're after. Open up your hearts to the tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. I've walked these mountains in the rain, learned to love the wind. I've been up before the sunrise to watch the day begin. I always knew I'd find you, though I never did know how. But like sunshine on a cloudy day, you stand before me now. So give yourself to love, if love is what you're after. Open up your hearts to the tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Love is born in fire, it's planted like a seed. Love can't give you everything, but it gives you what you need. And love comes when you are ready, love comes when you're afraid. It will be your greatest teacher, the best friend you have made. So give yourself to love, if love is what you're after. Open up your hearts to the tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Give yourself to love, if love is what you're after. Open up your hearts to the tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love.
That was Kate Wolfe singing Give Yourself to Love, off her Live Volume 1 and 2 from 1983. So gorgeous.
Those were really terrific interviews by your cast members and what they want the audience to gain from attending the play, Diana.
Yeah.
Very profound.
Yeah, I'm really, really so proud of them. Very deep, very connected, as you heard. They're really involved, amazingly involved in so many ways. So, and that's proof of it.
Yeah.
What kind of surprises came up for you? What were you surprised with from the time you put out the call for auditions to now? What's come up for you?
Well, as I spoke earlier, one big surprise, I didn't know the turnover would be so much, you know, that I had to fill roles.
You mean with all the people
with all
quitting?
The cast members, yeah, with all the quitting. I never expected that. I just thought people would be so dedicated that they would want to do it. And I know they had some outside influence. That's why many of them had to leave, but that's okay. But that was a surprise. All in all, it was a surprise. Also, the next surprise, I would say the cast members, how deeply they are feeling around, you know, just them sharing so much, just them sharing so deeply about their own personal experience. I didn't know that the play would affect them so deeply. But it makes sense that they would get involved in it. And then so deeply in that, that they disclose so much about themselves and that they are coming out as a process of the safety and the love and the welcoming that they felt. So I'm really surprised. I think I was really surprised by so much of it. I guess because I have 17 cast members, you know, everybody's being impacted in some deep way. And so that was very surprising. I love my cast members, I guess. Is that a surprise? I love people. And I love people who work hard. And these people work hard. And I love them. And I love them really quickly. I mean, I say I love you to them and to certain ones. And when we hug, you know, I kiss them on the cheek. And it's a genuineness. I really am surprised by my love for everyone so deeply. And everybody else's love for each other. It's just brought us all together. Like we're all together working for this common goal of, you know, humanity, you know, of love, of respect and acceptance. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm so happy to be in the center of it all.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say from my perspective, I've been in many productions, many plays myself, and I've never seen a director work with a cast like you to even take the time to want to get to know them, to see how are they being affected by the roles and each other in the roles. I've never seen opening rituals like what you've done with this cast. And for me, that's what was missing for me in any play I was ever in. It was like, but they don't even ask us how we feel about our own selves. Like, for example, the vagina monologues. Let's talk about our vaginas, our own vaginas. And it just never happened. And you are taking that baton and you are a pioneer. I believe truly in my heart that you are a pioneer in how to treat the cast differently. You are giving each person their just due as far as who they are as people. And then how can they embody their character? It's just not about the lines. And it's been a beautiful process to watch, Diana.
Thank you for that, Sarah. And I, you know, I want to just, since I'm on to you and you on to you, I just want to appreciate you, Sarah. You've just been there by my side and helping me through this whole process from the beginning to the end, to editing, to, you know, reading it over with me and trying to help me make it make sense. And what am I really trying to say? And, you know, what I really want people to get. And so you were there from the beginning, helping me with the lines and the way you're taking over the all the things that I don't want to do and all the things that I need help doing. And they love you. And they love you dearly, Cher. Really, they do. You're part of the team and what you're doing musically with the group is beautiful. So I really want to appreciate you for all that you're doing.
Thank you, Di.
And if I don't say it enough, know that I appreciate you dearly from the bottom of my heart. And I love you dearly.
Thank you, babe. So I got one more question for you, and that's about the future. So what does your future look like as far as playwriting and going forward?
Well, there's a lot in my future as far as this play is concerned. I see big things happening with this play. This play is so valuable and so important and so educational and therapeutic and entertaining. It's all the above and is a tool that can be used in schools. and in colleges. And I see it being, you know, spread around the country and even the world as a tool for education about LGBT lives, about addiction, about rejection, about relationship. I give tools to help people resolve some issues as well. So I really wanted to have this play move across the country, even to Broadway would be lovely. What else do I want? I want, oh, there's so much. I want to write more plays.
Do you have anything in mind?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have.
Can you share just like maybe one example?
Well, I don't want to know if I want to say, but I have a plot in my head, a one-person show with a lot of different involvement from similar stories that will be popping in and through and out of the play. So it's going to be really someone's personal story that's intertwined with other people who are on a same or similar path. So as soon as I have a break, I'm going to write it out, and I can probably knock that play out in about, you know, a week. So the juices are ready to just flow, but yeah. I have to, I have to slow myself down because I want to get through this coming weekend. The play weekend. So there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot I want to do. And I'm praying for an angel to come and help make this all happen.
What kind of angel?
So I can just be creative. You know, somebody with some money who can help publicize this, who can move it across. You know, those people who would do this type of job. Mm. I just want to be the creative spirit, and I want to be the director. I also want to put out for an angel to, if there's an abandoned building somewhere where we can create into a venue or a playhouse for LGBTQ, that would be awesome. Mm. With a little cafe in there. You know, I have dreams for it. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of possibility, a lot of potential. We have musicians in our cast that can play music at that little playhouse. I got a lot of ideas. I just need some financial backing. So with that said, if there are any angels out there, you know where to find me.
Thank you so much for being our guest tonight, Diana. And we wish you the best of luck on your play, Di. You don't need it. Not the luck, anyway. We just wish you the best outcome. And like Diana, you too can be living proof that you can show your vitality, your vibrancy, your courage, your creativity. We can show people that we are alive and well in Sonoma County. Until next month,
good night. Can't stop me now, then you can do the same, yeah. What have you done?
You can listen to past Outbeat Radio shows on demand anytime on our website at outbeatradio.com. And don't forget to take Outbeat Radio with you on the new KRCB mobile app. You can listen to Outbeat Radio and all of your other favorite programs on KRCB from anywhere in the world with internet access. The app is absolutely free and available right now on both the Apple and Android app stores. Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio 91.
Still so many answers, I don't know.
You're listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa, online all the time at krcb.org. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.